If you have your Bibles this evening, find, if you would, the book of Esther. Esther, find, if you would, the third chapter will be where we will begin. Esther is located in the Old Testament. It's before the book of Psalms and Proverbs is the book of Esther. You may also want to put something in Colossians chapter number 3. We will make our way to Colossians chapter number 3 as well. I have been trying to use Sunday nights to preach and teach on practical subjects that I believe that we need to know and understand and practice in our daily life, and growing in our relationship with the Lord and growing in our walk with the Lord. And such be one of those subjects tonight. And I want to preach a message entitled Confrontation is Part of Life. Confrontation, it's part of life. I don't know if you are like somebody, or if you're a person who likes confrontation. I personally am not a person that likes confrontation. I find myself having to do it often, but in my flesh and in my own nature, I'm not a confrontational person. But I have found that there are people that have the polar opposite of being non-confrontational, and they're hyper-confrontational. They love confrontation. They look for it anywhere they can get it, and they thrive on it, and they think they'll always win it. Nobody's going to beat them, and so they just love confrontation. Most of the time, the mindset that loves confrontation is because they don't do it in a biblical way, but they like it. But I have found that most of the time, people want to shy away from this responsibility. But I have also found that confrontation is part of our spiritual growth. And I have found that there are times in our life where God will put you in a situation that is going to have to be confrontational. You're going to have a conversation with somebody. You're going to have to talk to your boss. You're going to have to talk to your neighbor. You're going to have to talk to your wife. That's the ultimate confrontation, right? You're going to have to confront some kind of verbal statement or some kind of situation. You're going to have to confront something with your children, something with another believer in the church. Our usual response to confrontation is just to ignore it. And we don't ever do anything or say anything, and so we just let the situation go. And normally, that situation doesn't go well. And a lot of times, God Himself will put you and me in a position where He is demanding of us to stand up, speak up, and to confront the situation. Done properly, done in the power of the Spirit of God, done according to the Word of God, confrontation can be a very important tool and a very important blessing and can bring wonderful victories in our spiritual life. And so I wanted to give you some truths tonight to help you kind of prepare yourself and understand that as a Christian, God's going to put you in confrontational situations. And you cannot run from them your whole life. Amen? Such be the case. Look, if you would, in Esther chapter 3. I'll pick up for sake of time, because I know we got a lot going on tonight. Pick up, if you would, in verse number 8. In Esther chapter 3, verse number 8, the Bible says, "And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus." Now, Haman is Ahasuerus' right-hand man. Ahasuerus is the king of Persia here. Haman is a man that is his right hand, and he's in this realm. There's a certain people scattered abroad. This is what Haman says. There's a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. He's speaking of the Jews here. And their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be what? What's the word? Destroyed. I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasury. So basically, Haman is giving blood money. He's trying to get permission. He's bribing the king so he can kill the Jews. Now, you need to understand about Haman, he's an Agite. Haman shouldn't even be alive at this time, but Saul didn't do what he was supposed to do. And so here's this man still a thorn in the flesh to the nation of Israel. Verse number 10. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, the Jews' enemy. And so if you were to read the rest of the chapter, you will find that a letter goes forward into all of the country stating what's going to happen. And the chapter ends with a tremendous sentence in verse number 15. It says, the post went out, being hastened by the king's commandment. The decree was given in Shushan the palace, and the king and Haman sat down to drink. But the city Shushan was perplexed. So they had created this tremendous anxiety because there's a death sentence now on the Jews. What Haman didn't understand is that the Jews are God's chosen people, a special people. God had made promises to them, and God was going to protect them. So God had already worked out a plan to put a protection in the life of the Jews. If you look at chapter 4, verse number 1, there's a man mentioned here. His name is Mordecai. God had already established Mordecai with some leadership here in the nation, in Shushan. And when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes, put on sackcloth with ashes, and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. He didn't care. This guy's burdened. He's going to go. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. There's a period there. Next paragraph starts. So, what's her name? Esther. Now, Mordecai is Esther's uncle. And you remember now, Esther, prior to this announcement going out, God had already orchestrated and put Esther in a place where she would be ready to meet this need. Ahasuerus had a bride. Her name was what? Vashti. Ahasuerus got drunk and stupid. And in a drunken stupor, he wanted his own wife to do a dance that would have been a sensual dance in front of these men. She denied that. And therefore, he ends up putting her out, and he does kind of a beauty contest before Mr. Trump was on the earth. They already had beauty contests. And so they do this beauty contest, and God allows for Esther to become queen. Now, Esther is a Jew, and so she's there. And she is the queen, but she's a Jew, and the king has signed a death warrant on all of the Jews. Therefore, she's in danger. She doesn't even know that she's in danger. Mordecai, being her uncle, hears what's going on, and he immediately goes to her so to present the case. Pick up, if you would, in verse number 4. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her that Mordecai was out there in sackcloth and ashes. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved. Why? Because he was doing something he wasn't supposed to do. And she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment. She says, you get down there, you tell my uncle, he's not right. commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. What's going on? So Hatak went forth to Mordecai under the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. He also gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther and declare it unto her, and to, what's that word? Charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make a request before him for her people. All right, so all of a sudden, normal life gets turned upside down. Things are going great. All of a sudden, we got a problem, and we got a massive problem. Sounds like our lives today. How fast you can go from things going fine to having a problem. The problem erupts, and it causes tremendous perplexity among all of the Jews. But I got a good amen statement here. No problem that you ever face ever causes perplexion to God. Catches us, blown out of their mind. How in the world is this possible? Are you kidding me? Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? Everybody's perplexed. But God's okay. Matter of fact, God had already known this problem was coming, so God already began to orchestrate people in positions. So now the charge comes from Mordecai, but actually and truthfully, this charge is coming off of the hand of God that Esther now is to be a part of the solution to this problem. The charge to her is you're up to bat. You're option A. You're our first go. You have been green lighted. You are here for such a time as this. Many times in your life, you will find that it will come up that you're God's option A. That doesn't mean that God's going to deliver things through your ability, but it does mean that God uses human instruments, and he will use you to stand up, confront a situation, be a voice in a situation, or to be used in some situation. And there's going to come a time in all of our lives when you're the go-to person. You. Now, Esther does exactly what most of us do. Pick up, if you would, in verse number 9. Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have, what are those three words? Not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. All right, so here comes the charge to Esther. Esther, you got to go into the king. You're God's person. You're God's vessel. You're God's instrument for this moment. God has strategically placed you here. Yes, we're perplexed. We didn't know we were going to have a problem. Everything was going great. You're the king's queen, and it's a wonderful position, but God didn't just put you there so you could be his spouse. God put you there to use you for his glory. By the way, every position you hold in your life is not so you can make money, not so you can have a job, not so you can relate to others, but so that God can use you for his glory. And there will come a time when God will call on you. And most of the time when God calls on you, it's a confrontational situation. It's a situation that's got teeth to it. It's a situation that's got some touchiness to it. And so, much like what Esther does, she begins to make excuses. I'm not the person. I haven't been called. Anybody else but me. Do you remember that Southwest Airlines commercial about those people that want to get away? Lord, I can't speak up. I can't do this. God, I can't handle this pressure. Lord, I don't even know what to say. I'm not the guy. Use anybody else, but don't use me. And God says, no, I want to use you. Think about this now. Are you God's child? If you're God's child, God has a plan for your life. And God will always work the circumstances of your life and every blessing that God gives to you. Yes, you're benefited by that, but God has a purpose in what he is doing. She begins to make excuses. Mordecai challenges her excuses and says, no, you're not option B. No, there's not somebody else. You are plan A. Now, there will come a time in your office when you're plan A to stand up for Christ. There will come a time in your family when you're plan A to speak up. There will come a time when you are the person that God wants to use. Pastor, I'm not gifted. I'm not talented. I'm not this. I can't do this. It doesn't matter. God doesn't need you to do all those things. God just needs you to trust him and do what he tells you to do. Right? So then Esther begins to, Mordecai challenges this thought. Look, if you would, at verse number 14. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? He says, listen, you're the one. If you're going to be sinful and disobedient and rebellious, you're going to suffer the consequence. But how do you not know that? This is why you have your job. This is why you're the boss. This is why these are your people are your friends. This is why these people are your neighbors. This is why you're on this earth to serve the Lord. And he's coming to her at a very confrontational time. Esther understands this. If you look at verse number 15 and 16, it clicks to her. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. So will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And say this phrase with me out loud. If I perish, I perish. And so what happens is Esther comes to an understanding that, yeah, I have been placed here by God. Yes, I have this opportunity to be used of God. Yes, God wants to work through me. And when it clicked in Esther's mind that this was way bigger than her, and she understands that God is able to do what God wants to do in her life and that her responsibility is to trust herself to him, then she says, listen, I'm going to go do this, and if I perish, I perish. And by the way, perishing is the number one thing that keeps you from confronting. You're afraid to lose. You're afraid to perish. You're afraid to lose your job. You're afraid to lose your friendship. You're afraid to lose your family. You're afraid to lose some situation. And so we think, well, if I confront this situation, it's only going to get worse. That is a lie. If God is telling you and moving in your heart for you to somehow confront some situation for his glory, if you don't do it, yes, things are going to get worse for you. But if you will humble yourself and submit yourself and approach it in the way I'm going to show you that Esther did, you will find that you can know great victory. That's why God has you there. Are you thinking of a situation right now where God has said, I want you to be a voice? You need to speak up. Is somebody always taking the name of the Lord in vain around you? Is God wanting you to speak up for the mistreatment of somebody else? Is God wanting you to be a witness in somewhere? And you know full well that you were the one that should have stood up and confronted, but you didn't do it. I find that a lot of God's people are in that position. So, Pastor, what do I do? How do I go about, because I hate confrontation, Pastor, but I'm thinking of a situation right now in the office, and I got to have a talk with a boss, or I've got a fellow employee, or I've got a family member, and I've got to do this. I know God wants me to do it. I put it off forever and forever and forever, because honestly, I'm scared out of my mind. I don't want to do it. I wish the whole thing would go away. I wish he would choose somebody else, but I seem to be the guy he wants to use. Am I going to survive this? Okay. Watch what she does. Write these things down. First thing she does in verse 16. Never enter into a confrontational situation until you have given much time in prayer. Verse 16. She said, gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, neither eat nor drink. How many days, class? 3 days. So the first thing you got to be prepared for if you're going to enter into a confrontational situation is you've got to set time aside to pray. Now, just because somebody ticks us off or we see something does not mean that that is to be an immediate confrontational situation. You can't confront something with God's power on it unless you have God's power, unless you've been prayed up. And so thoughts like, well, I just got to give them a piece of my mind, or I got to get this word in, or this or that, or somebody does something for you at work and you're sitting there for hours at your desk just steaming and steaming and steaming, and before they go home, you got to walk in there and challenge them, you're going to do the wrong thing. Absolutely, you're going to do the wrong thing. Confrontation is serious business. Therefore, it must be given serious time to pray. And you're praying, God, I want your will above anything. God, I want you to work this out. Confrontation is not to destroy somebody. Confrontation is so God can be glorified. It's not going to be glorified if you're not prayed up. So the first thing you got to do is you got to take time to pray. You got to take time to be filled with the Spirit of God. Look, if you would, at verse number 1 of chapter number 5. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther, she's going to go in and see the king. This is a risking of her life. That Esther put on her royal apparel. So she knows that she's going in here and she knows that she's walking into a dangerous situation. So she wants to go in with her best. She wants to look presentable. She wants to look beautiful. She wants to look royal. She wants to grab the attention of the king. Now, the king doesn't really understand that. He doesn't know that Esther's in this position. He's followed Haman's advice. So she's going in here with a loving desire to confront this king. So she puts on her royal apparel. By the way, write this down. Before you ever confront anybody, you better put on the royal apparel of Jesus Christ. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Hold your hand here. Let me show you something. Colossians chapter 3. Look in verse number 12. Paul's writing here. Put on, therefore, speaking of the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him in verse number 10. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God or saved of God, holy and beloved bowels of, now here's a description, mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, and if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, the same way that Esther is going into this confrontational situation, and she puts on this royal apparel that makes her pleasing or attractive or lets her in the doorway, is the same way you as a believer, before you go into any kind of confrontational situation, you need to put on the new man. You need to put on the new man of Christ. You need to be filled with these bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Remember, the confrontational situation is not for you to be right and them to be wrong. It's not for you to destroy them and for you to be exalted. It's that Jesus Christ can be glorified. Amen? That's why you're there. And if you don't take the time to spiritually prepare yourself, then you're going to have a huge problem. And the problem's going to be your flesh. and your pride and your arrogance, and you're going to get in there, and it's going to become a battle of the wills and an exaltation. And Esther didn't do that. She knew she had an opportunity here, and so she puts on this royal garment, and we need to put on these things. That's why you need time to pray, time to prepare yourself. So you go in a humbleness of mind, in a meekness of spirit, in a sweetness, in a sweet disposition. You know, you can be kind of strong and still be sweet. You can have, here's the one thing a believer needs to understand. It's never how you confront the situation in your flesh. What grabs people's attention is the power and authority of God. And so when you go into a confrontational situation, you don't have to be the loudest voice in the room. You don't have to be the barkingest dog. You don't have to show your teeth. What you want to do is you want to walk into a room, and when you go into that room or that meeting, you want God's power on your life. Amen? And so that's what Esther's doing. She's putting on this apparel, and we put on the new man. Come back if you would. I'll show you another opportunity. Before you confront a situation, you better take time to pray. You better take time to put on that new man so that you know where you're going. And then if you look at verse number 1, when she enters into the court there, Esther put on her royal apparel, and she stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. The king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court. And so she didn't just go in there like a bull in a china shop. She went in there with some humility. She went in there and she allowed for the king to see her. And God begins to open up the doors. If you look at verse number 3, Esther didn't even have to say anything. As soon as she went in there, standing in the court, she obtained favor in his sight. The king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near, touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, "What wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? And it shall be given thee to the half of the kingdom." And so what happens? Esther does it right. She's prayed up. She's put on that royal apparel. She's got a humbleness of mind. She enters into that courtroom, and with the power of God upon her, the king sees her, and then the king begins to extend himself, and opportunities begin to develop. Now, if you've ever confronted somebody and you've been scared out of your mind, then you go into a confrontational situation right, it's like the Lord just opens up the doors. If you've ever had that situation, say amen. And you're thinking, man, I do not know how this is going to go. This is going to be ugly. I don't even know what I'm going to say. I don't know how to present this. I don't know whatever. But you've taken the time to prepare yourself spiritually. And then when you go in, you will kind of find that God just begins to lead you. God begins to open up the doors. There's a very unique peace upon the situation. And it's almost like it's not even you talking. It's the Lord's talking. It's like, God, how did you open that up? How did you do that? And so he unfolds those opportunities. Why are you giving us this, Pastor? I'm giving you this because confrontation is part of life. And a lot of spiritual victory happens at the point of confrontation. And a lot of God's people, we would rather do anything than confront. We would allow somebody else to do it. But a lot of times, God's got you. You're in the situation. You're blessed. You're implanted. You have that job. You have that title. You have that connection. And God's wanting you to trust him. And so if we don't do that, then that work of God is not going to happen. And if that work of God doesn't happen, then I have found that things don't turn out too well. You're never going to get away from it. If you're hiding from it and you know God wants you to speak up for him in some situation, you need to trust him about it. Prepare yourself, take time and pray. Put on that new man, approach in humbleness of mind, come into that situation with God's power on you, and let God use you for his glory. Amen? I beg you to understand that God wants to use you in these situations. Shall we pray?